Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 48 of Linux Reality. My name is Chess Griffin. Hope everyone is doing well this week. I am. I'm feeling much better. I was a little under the weather last week, but doing better. So thanks for all your good wishes and get well soon emails. I do appreciate that. I've got a sort of a variety of things to talk about this week. Sort of the main episode or the main topic is going to be XFCE 4.4, but I've got some other things I kind of wanted to talk about, and I thought this might be a good opportunity to do so. So I think without further ado, let's get right to it. Okay, before I get to XFCE 4.4, there's two things I wanted to talk about, just sort of two unrelated things I just sort of had on my mind that I wanted to mention to you all, sort of get your thoughts on as well. The first thing is about computers in schools. My wife and I, over the last couple of weeks, have been going to look at some schools. Our eldest son, he's 5 years old. He's going to be starting kindergarten this fall. And we haven't gone to see the public school in our neighborhood yet. We're going to be doing that soon. But here where we live, there are other public schools called magnet schools where people can apply. It's a public school. It's not a private school. But you have to apply. And they're supposed to be a little bit, oh, I don't know. They're schools that they're trying to attract other students from other areas to come into. And so they tend to have some other facilities and some other special programs and sort of a different style of teaching and things. And so anyway, we've been going on some tours of these magnet schools, and we've been to three or four over the last few weeks. And it's interesting because as part of the tour, of course, we get to see the classrooms, and, you know, they usually have at least a few computers in each classroom. And most of these schools also have computer labs. And of course, I took special notice of what was in these labs. And you know, the computer labs in these schools are very nice. They usually have 20 to 30 computers, and they all seem to be relatively new, and they're usually Dells or something. In fact, one of the schools had some Macs, I noticed. Sometimes with the tours, we got to see a class in the computer lab, you know, students interacting with the computers. And, of course, I noticed that they all ran Windows. They all ran Windows XP. And it got me thinking, you know, I just wonder how much money is spent in public schools on computers and Windows and Microsoft Office that could possibly be spent elsewhere if they were using Linux, you know, or if they were using something that had a much lower cost or relatively no cost. Imagine the money that could be saved that could be maybe put towards a few more teachers. Or perhaps raising the salaries of teachers. I don't know about other countries, but here in the U.S., teachers are sort of, unfortunately, historically low paid, and that doesn't seem to be right. I mean, here we are trusting these people to teach our children, and they don't make as much as they would outside of the school setting. And, I just see all these computers, and I think about all the licenses that must be bought for this, and I saw them using PowerPoint and Microsoft Office, and just thinking about the amount of money that must be spent on this computer, on these computers and this software and this equipment that, you know, it really would be nice if Linux could make inroads into the public school. And I've seen programs here and there, and I've heard of companies here and there trying to help get this done, but I really think it's something that we should focus on because, resources are limited, and I would think that money could be spent elsewhere. Besides, not only that, you know, I was watching a second grade class in one of these computer labs, and they were all using the computers, and they were teaching them how to use Microsoft Office and PowerPoint, and I'm thinking, gosh, you know, here's a group of students that are going to grow up thinking that word processing means Word, Microsoft Word, and think, you know, the internet means Microsoft Internet Explorer, and they're just not exposed to the variety of computer technologies that are out there. And, you know, again, it would be nice if Linux could make inroads there to help these students learn that there's something other than Windows, and that, you know, I just feel that these classes should be teaching, you know, word typing, perhaps, rather than word processing on Microsoft Word. Or, how to create presentations, how to create a good outline just, you know, on paper, and how to create, how to structure a presentation. And, And then whether they use PowerPoint or you know, Open Office or whatever, that's really secondary. But unfortunately, and I see this in the corporate world too, that people tend to think that word processing means Microsoft Word when it doesn't. I mean, I remember growing up with, you know, WordPerfect, the early DOS versions of WordPerfect back in the 80s, and I just thought WordPerfect was awesome. I still think WordPerfect was the better word processor. But anyway, it was just kind of interesting. I would love to hear some feedback from people who maybe are teachers or involved in the public school system here, either in the U.S. or in other countries. I'd love to get some feedback on inroads that are hopefully being made by Linux in the public schools and in the educational area, because I just think there's two benefits there. I mean, it's not just a cost benefit, but it's also just a exposing kids to other technologies benefit as well. So I just, you know, it was really sobering. It was unfortunate to see, disappointing, but, you know, I'm thinking, well, gosh, you know, if my kids can get involved in one of these schools, maybe I can help. I'm not a teacher and I couldn't do this full time, but maybe I could help, you know, at least talk to the computer science teachers and the computer lab people and see if I can't get them to, you know, dedicate a few machines to Linux. I think that'd be kind of cool. So anyway, I'd just love to get your feedback on that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, of course, and this sort of ties in with Linux as well, is the release of Vista. Obviously, everybody knows that Microsoft Vista was released, and I've been listening to the Security Now podcast where they're talking about all the DRM that's really wired into Vista and just how much Microsoft has sort of gotten in bed with the entertainment industry, movies and the RIAA, and, you know, to protect content and you know, it's just, you know, I was talking to somebody at my office and he was all excited about Vista, and I don't know if he was going to go out and buy it the night it came out, but he was planning to get it maybe this, you know, over the weekend or something. But, and I just thought, you know, gosh, there's just nothing in Vista that excites me. And I'm so glad to be running, you know, a free operating system and to not be tied down. It just really brings home to me the importance of having, you know, an open system, an open platform, and unrestricted content. And you know, I'm just so against DRM and, you know, some of the technologies that are in Vista. And, you know, it's unfortunate again, because I feel like most people don't understand or don't get it. I've tried to talk to people about the DRM issue. And, you know, fortunately, to my wife's credit, she gets it. You know, she still uses our Mac, and she has a bunch of stuff that she's bought through the iTunes Music Store, and she understands that, you know, that stuff's got DRM in it, and it basically ties her to the iPod. But she gets it, and I think she's getting to the point. You know, some people, it kind of takes a little while, and that's important to recognize. I think, you know, those of us that like to evangelize Linux, we have to understand, I think, that people are different, and some people can kind of, you know, move quickly and adopt new technologies quickly, and other people, it just takes a little while, and it, you know, it's hard to understand, I think, for some people. But anyway, but she gets it. And but I was thinking about this guy in my office who, you know, I tried to talk to him about it, and he just, I mean, it didn't make any sense to him, and he didn't care, and he thought Vista was really cool, and he's seen the demos, and he just was all excited about it. And I tried to tell him a little bit about the DRM that, you know, the Security Now podcast have covered, and that didn't matter to him. And you know, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to, you know, not everybody needs to convert today, I don't think. You know, that's the thing, is that it's a slow process. It's going to be a slow process. And I just think we need to kind of talk about it here and there and drop hints here and there. And, you know, I recommended that he read that, you know, Larry Lessig book, Free Culture. And, you know, just, you know, do little bits here and there to try to tell people about the problems of proprietary software and DRM and all that stuff, and just how much it ties them down in the long run. And, you know, they may not understand it right away, but hopefully in the long run they will. So it was just an interesting week. What with seeing the stuff going on at the schools with the inroads that Microsoft has there, and then seeing the hoopla around Microsoft Vista, and just really feeling glad that I'm so fortunate to have discovered Linux. And again, that's partly why I do this podcast. I want to hopefully get other people to discover Linux and to discover the things it can do, not just from a technological perspective, but from a philosophical perspective, and just how great it is to be running, you know, a free and open operating system and not be tied down. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I'd love to get everybody's feedback on that too. So, you know, as always, send me an email, you know, linuxreality@gmail.com, or you know, I would love to get audio feedback. You know, call that number, 206-338-6359. Let me know what you think about either of these topics. So anyway, moving on, I did want to talk about XFCE 4.4. I did an episode on XFCE, of course, when I was talking about window managers and the like, but I wanted to bring it up again, and just more so because, you know, I've had people who tell me, who send me emails saying that they like the fact that I talk about some of this stuff from time to time because, you know, they're busy and they don't have a chance to play around with these technologies like I do, and so they appreciate kind of being, apprised of them as they come out. So XFCE 4.4 is the new release. It's been out now maybe 2 weeks or so of the XFCE desktop. It's a GTK-based desktop environment, lightweight. It's sort of in the middle. You know, on the one end of the spectrum, you have KDE and GNOME that are very full-featured and heavy, perhaps, very big, and you know, they have everything under the sun. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have the extremely lightweight window managers like Fluxbox and OpenBox and things like that. And XFCE is kind of in the middle. It's lighter than KDE and GNOME, but it's not totally minimalistic either. It does come with a fair number of its own built-in applications and things. And I really like XFCE 4.4. I did not really use the betas too much. I tried some of the release candidates and liked them very much. And now that it's been released, I've got the final version running. So I thought I'd mention some of the, kind of cover some of the highlights of what XFCE 4.4 has. Probably the biggest thing it's got going for it is Thunar, the new file manager. The old file manager in XFCE was XFFM, and it was sort of routinely, dragged through the mud. Nobody really liked XFFM. Thunar is great. Thunar is like a very lightweight Nautilus. It's a lot like PC Man FM, which is another lightweight GTK-based file manager. It's sort of got that Finder look. You know, it's sort of got the three sections. You know, on the left-hand side, you've got a column that's divided into an upper and a lower half. The upper half representing, you know, sort of your places, you know, your file system, your mounted media, your home directory, that kind of thing. And at the bottom on the left is sort of your shortcuts or bookmarks to locations in the file system that you frequent. And then the right-hand side is a bigger pane that represents the contents of the folder that you're currently looking at. And Thunar, it was written from scratch, for XFCE 4.4. It's been, you know, maybe 2 years in development. It's just fantastic. I really like it a lot. Like I said, it's a lot like PC Man FM. There are some differences. It does have a little bit more functionality than PC Man FM, but it's neat. And it does all the things you'd expect of a standard file manager. I mean, you know, it can show you, you can browse by tree, by icons. It will show you the MIME types. You can associate programs with different MIME types like AUGs. You know, you can associate it with different media applications. And the way it does that is really handy. Now, I've heard Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show talk about how difficult it was or unintuitive it was to assign different applications with different MIME types under Nautilus. And he's right. It's not that intuitive. You have to go to properties, and then there's a different tab where you can select the different applications. In Thunar, it's great. You just right-click, and one of the first entries is open with, and it lists, you know, the default player. Let's say it's an AUG file. And then the next entry, I think, is open with, and sort of then it has a side menu that opens up. And it's great because it lists all the different applications, all the different audio applications, let's say. And you can easily select a different one. And you can also go into the properties, and on the very first pane of the properties is where you can assign the application on a permanent basis. You know, let's say you want your AUG files to use the Beat Media Player, and you want your WAV files to be opened in MPlayer. You know, that's very easy to assign in Thunar. So that's really nice. Another nice feature about Thunar is it's got this, I haven't tried this yet, but it's got a feature to bulk rename files. So that's kind of cool. You know, I could see it being really handy with digital images off your camera. You know, they often have, like, at least on all the digital cameras I've had, all the files are like, you know, DSC001.jpg or something. And so you can bulk rename those to photo 001.jpg or whatever. So that's kind of cool. Thunar also has the ability to automatically mount your removable drives and media. That requires a Thunar plug-in. It's sort of a logical volume, not logical volume, but a removable volume plug-in. I think it's, gosh, I'm trying to remember what it's called exactly. I don't have it handy with me. Let's see here. Nope. I was trying to, I had written down some notes here, but anyway, there's a plug-in for Thunar that enables sort of removable volume mounting capabilities, and that works real well. It'll mount your USB stick and your CD-ROMs and all that kind of good stuff. So that's real handy. Another new feature with XFCE 4.4 is it now has icons on the desktop. That was one thing that some people complained about with the old versions of XFCE. You couldn't have icons on the desktop. There were some roundabout ways of doing it, but with the new XFCE, you can do that. I don't like icons on my desktop, so I turn that off, but it's very easy to do, and it works real well. Another nifty feature with XFCE 4.4 is with the panels. You can now kind of put them wherever you want on the screen. You can extend them the width of the screen or make them real short. That was another feature in the old version of XFCE that wasn't there out of the box. There was a plug-in for the panels that lets you expand it to the width of the screen, but that's now built in. So that's pretty cool. There's also built-in compositing, you know, sort of for transparencies and shadows and all that cool stuff. It's not as full-featured as Barrel or Compiz or any of those newfangled technologies, but it works pretty well. It's a little buggy. I've ran into some issues with it a little bit here and there, but it works pretty well. Again, I usually turn that stuff off. I've played with Barrel and Compiz, and it's cool. You know, I like the spinning cube. That's kind of handy, but a lot of the transparencies and the drop shadows, it just doesn't really do a whole lot for me. I do like with Barrel, getting on that for a second, like how you can have sort of the expose thing, like from Mac OS X, where you can, you know, assign a right, you know, a button combination, and it will sort of show you mini versions of all your open windows on the screen. It kind of, the background grays out and all the screens kind of zoom into the middle real small, and then you can just kind of mouse over one and select it. That's kind of neat. But the built-in functionality with XFCE 4.4 for compositing isn't quite that full featured, but it's still pretty cool. They've also got a brand new text editor. I think it's called Mousepad. A very lightweight, very basic text editor. So that's kind of nifty. Doesn't replace Vim for me, but, you know, it is nice. It's much lighter than GE Edit, which is the default text editor for GNOME, but I don't think it has syntax highlighting, I don't believe, which is the one thing that GE Edit has, which is handy. I do like having the syntax highlighting for when you're looking at different types of code. Let's see here. Some of the other new features. It's got very cool window manager tweaks. You know, you can really sort of customize the window manager as much as you like. You can, going back to the transparency and the compositing, that also works with the panels. You can now make the panels transparent. Again, that was something that you could build. You could under the old XFCE, you could recompile it with that functionality built in, but most binaries didn't have it by default, and so you usually didn't see it with XFCE 4.2. But with 4.4, that's very easy to do. You just go into the settings, and there's something called Window Manager Tweaks, and there's a tab in there called Compositor where you can turn on the compositing, and then you can kind of change all the different settings for the compositing for the windows and the panels. There's lots of new applets for the panel, plugins. They're sort of separate. They're part of the XFCE goodies package. There's lots of good ones. They've been updated. There's a new Mail Watcher plugin, which is nice, multi-mailbox, multi-protocol plugin. There's a nice mount plugin that was there before, I believe. There's a music player daemon client, an MPC client plugin, which is cool. That works real well. I've used that as well. Some of the system load and the system monitor plugins, those have been updated, but they don't really. I mean, they're the same as XFCE 4.2. I was never a big fan of the system monitor plugins with XFCE 4.2, and those are basically the same in XFCE 4.4. There's a weather plugin, which is nifty. There's a, you know, a Wi-Fi plugin, so you can see, you know, wireless networks. There's a modem plugin. There's even a cell modem, you know, lets you monitor the quality of cell phone monitors, you know, GPRS and all that, you know, the 3G. If you're using your cell phone as a modem, there's a plugin that lets you sort of monitor that, which is pretty cool. There is a, let's see, there's a notes plugin, kind of like Tomboy, which is a notes thing for GNOME. There's also a notes application for XFCE 4.4, and there's a plugin for it. So you can have sort of your notes in the plugin. You just click on the little icon and you can create little sticky notes all over the place. So that's kind of nifty. And let's see, what are some of the other plugins? The calendar has been updated, which is nice. You can now, the old calendar of XFCE 4.2 was really just a calendar, didn't do anything else. Now you can set, you know, you can schedule things on different days, and you can have, you know, there's a notification icon or panel applet as well that lets you, that has pop-up notifications, you know, whenever a new event arrives. So you can now set events on the XFCE calendar, and they will show up when they arrive. So that's pretty cool too. Another really nice thing is the ability to use GNOME applets. There's an applet. There's a plugin for the XFCE panel called XF Applet, and this is great. This is one thing I always wanted, was to be able to use certain GNOME applets in the XFCE panel. For example, the GNOME system monitor. I like the GNOME system monitor, and I always wanted to be able to use that in XFCE, and now you can. What you do is you put in the XF Applet plugin, which lets you use GNOME applets, and then you can, you know, start up a GNOME applet, and it will just sort of sync right into the dock, and it will be seamless. So you can use any GNOME applet in your XFCE panel, and that is really cool. I like that a lot. So those are just some of the highlights. I mean, there's a lot more with XFCE 4.4. Now, most distributions will eventually include this, of course, as part of their binaries. Since it's so new, I don't think it's available for a lot of different distributions, but XFCE has a GUI installer, which works really well from what I understand. I have not used it, because for the two distributions I use on my two workstations, one is Slackware. There's a guy out there who's got some Slack build scripts that build it for you. It works really well. A guy named Robbie Workman. And my other workstation uses Arch Linux, and they have already added XFCE 4.4 to their repos. So, but if you don't use a distribution that has it already, you can use the GUI installer. And like I said, I haven't used it, but I've heard people that have. I think Dave Yates has used it, and it sounds like it's worked real well for him. So I think what you do is you just go to the XFCE4 homepage, and there's a little GUI installer little setup GUI thing that you can download and run, and then it will download all the stuff and build it for you. And I think, like I said, from what I understand, it works real well. So if you don't have binaries easily available, I would check that out. Let's see here. I'm moving my notes around here while I'm trying to make sure that I covered everything. Like I said, I know, sort of short and sweet, a lot of other people have already talked about XFCE 4.4, but I highly encourage people to check it out if you haven't already. I really like XFCE a lot. I think it's improved tremendously over 4.2, which 4.2 is fantastic, but 4.4 is better, I think, overall. It's still a tiny desktop environment overall. I think I saw somewhere, you know, the source code for KDE and GNOME are each over 300 megabytes. They're big to download and compile. The entire source code for all of XFCE and all the goodies is less than 40 megabytes. That just goes to show you how small it is. Granted, it's not as small as Fluxbox or OpenBox or anything like that, but it really is a great middle ground. It's just a fantastic desktop distribution. So hats off to the XFCE developers. It's been, you know, 2 years in development. It's been a long wait, but it's been well worth it. So thanks, guys. That wraps up this main discussion. Let's check out an audio tip on changing window decorations in GNOME.
Hey, Chess. This is James from Akron, Ohio, with a listener tip. I'm a big Mac user. I think that OS X is a great OS, along with Linux, and that's all I run at my business and also at my house. I run a nice mix of Mac and Linux. Being a Mac user, I'm used to having the close, maximum, and minimize buttons in the upper left-hand side of all my windows, and when I hop on my Windows, or rather my Linux machines, and they're all on the right, it makes me feel like I'm sitting in front of a Microsoft product when I have to go up to the right to minimize. So, kind of a neat little trick for all of us Mac users out there to take the close, maximize, and minimize buttons and put them on the left-hand side of all the windows. I use Ubuntu for two of my Linux boxes at my house, and I use GNOME in that. And I don't know how to do this with any other desktop manager other than GNOME, but if you're running GNOME, you can go up to the Applications menu, and you're going to need to go to System Tools. Now, out of the box in Ubuntu, the System Tools doesn't show up under the Applications menu, so you might have to go to the a la carte menu editor and add that. But under System Tools, you're going to want to use the Configuration Editor, and when you open that up, in the left-hand pane, you're going to see a couple folders, and a few of them, so there's going to be apps, desktops, schema, and system. If you open the apps folder and scroll down to Metacity, you open the Metacity folder and you click on General, in the right-hand pane, you're going to see a couple options, and the fourth or fifth one down says button layout, and you can, standard one says menu colon, maximize comma minimize comma close. I just reword mine. I just click on the choice there, and I have it laid out now to say close comma maximize comma minimize colon menu, and just go ahead and hit enter, and it saves, and then boom, all your buttons are on the left-hand side of the windows. Makes it much nicer for me, being a Mac user, to sit down in front of my Windows boxes, and it feels like I'm not working on a Windows machine anymore. And that's it. Keep up the good work, Chess. I really enjoy your show, and thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for that. That's a fantastic tip. That is something I knew it could be done in gconf, but I've never actually looked for it. I just never bothered because I don't mind having the buttons in the upper right-hand corner. But I really appreciate you sending that in. That's a great audio tip. That's a perfect example of an audio tip. What I think is cool about that tip is it really shows you, in a nutshell, the difference between GNOME and KDE. I mean, that sums it up right there. Because in KDE, you can, in the KDE Control Center, you can go into the Window Decorations tab or whatever, and you can easily move the buttons around. I mean, it's drag and drop. You just move the buttons where you want them, and it's done. Easy. But with GNOME, they figure that, 99% of the people probably won't bother. And so let's make that an option that's hidden. Let's don't make it part of the preferences or the setup dialog boxes in the theme manager, because then you just keep building in more options. But it's still there for people who want to dig into the gconf editor and find it. And so it can be changed. It's just that it's not easily found, and that's by design. Again, they want to simplify the settings, simplify the preferences. Less is more, whereas KDE wants to give you every single option under the sun that's right there in the control center, so you can really customize KDE exactly the way you want it. That's a great example of the differences, I think, between GNOME and KDE. So thank you for sending in that audio tip, and now let's check out some listener feedback. Okay, first email here is from Tom, and Tom says, "Hey Chess, I just wanted to say hi and offer a huge thank you. I wrote you back in September when I started listening to the podcast. Since then, I have finished the majority of the shows and have almost completely switched over to Linux. My main box is currently dual booting SUSE 10.2 and Windows XP. I have Kubuntu running on an Acer laptop, and over the holidays, I built myself a file server from an old Pentium 2. That's great. Good job. That's cool. All I had to do was buy two 250 gig hard drives and set them up as a software RAID in Ubuntu Server 6.06. I really wanted to get down and dirty with the command line, but kept putting it off with all the good graphical tools in SUSE. The command line Ubuntu Server was the perfect opportunity. I am now pretty comfortable with command line, finally understanding how quickly it can move and just how powerful the line really is. There is still a lot of tweaking, but all of my important data is now stored on mirrored drives that are mapped and flawlessly running on all my other PCs. That is so cool. Let's see, he continues on. The times when I have to switch back to Windows, it makes me laugh that such an immense install offers so little in terms of customization. I'm not going to lie, SUSE is a hard drive hog, but I feel like customization possibilities are limitless and totally worthwhile. Keep up the great work and this wonderful resource. I know that things might have been a little bit slow starting off this year, but people are listening and eagerly waiting to see what is in store for 2007. Thanks for all the hard work. And he goes on to say, keep on trucking. I saw the Grateful Dead on your Arch screenshots and had to throw that in there. Also, Dark Star is my absolute favorite Dead song. Actually, a toss-up between that and Unbroken Chain. Enough rambling. Take it easy, Chess. Thanks, Tom. Great email. And I'm really psyched to see that, you know, all the stuff that you've been able to do. See, that is so cool. Here's someone who, you know, he's just kind of gotten into Linux and has switched over, and now he's dual booting stuff. He's got Kubuntu running on a laptop. He's built a file server with RAID. Man, that is just, if that doesn't sing the praises of Linux, I don't know what does. I just think that's so cool. Thank you, Tom. Here's an email from Cliff. Cliff says, by chance, I happened to stumble upon your podcast website and listened to the first three episodes last night and on the way to work this morning. I'm sure you've heard it time and time again, but I just wanted to say thank you for the terrific job you've done with the podcast and the site. And I'm looking forward to catching up with all the episodes and further exploring the forum. I'm a physicist, a MEMS engineer, and computer enthusiast who has been interested in learning Linux for some time now, but I just don't have much free time. Your podcast is the perfect way for me to do this and balance everything else. Before I sound too much like an infomercial, I'll wrap this up. Thanks again, Cliff. Cool, Cliff. Thanks for sending that email. I appreciate the time you spent to send it, and it really is fantastic to hear from you and to hear from folks, and I'm glad that the podcast is helping out and that you're enjoying it. All right, last email here that I'll read for this week is from Rob. Rob says, hi, Chess. I've just discovered your podcast and have started downloading the episodes from number one. I presently use Ubuntu as my primary desktop. I've been using it for about a year now. I'm currently using Edgy. I just want to say great work on the show. I discover something new about Ubuntu every day as I try different programs and realize how great of an operating system it is. I've just recently deleted my Windows partition, though I still use Windows on my laptop. I'm not a Windows or Microsoft hater. I'm just like other Linux users. I just want others to realize that there is an alternative. I've been thinking of starting a side business that would be aimed at putting Linux on machines that are either running older Windows or that are not ready for Vista. Just have them set up with all the codecs and plugins so that they are ready to be used for people who want a computer that just works without having to worry about viruses and spyware. Anyhow, just wanted to say thanks for the time that you put into this podcast, and now that I know about the site, I will visit frequently and start posting on your forums. I've also put a pin on the Frapper map. And that's from Rob. Thank you, Rob. I think that's a great idea. I know of other folks that have been doing the same thing about, you know, getting older computers and putting Linux on them as a side business. I do think that's a great idea. I mean, I've seen old computers for sale on eBay, and I check them out from time to time. And on Craigslist, I've bought a few local machines here and there, just really old, you know, $25 Pentium 3 machines or something, stuck in one or two more sticks of RAM, and put Linux on them and given them away to people. And Linux works great. And, you know, especially with something like XFCE, that's you know, lighter weight. It works perfectly for people like my, you know, grandma and those type of people who just want to do, you know, email and internet and listen to some music. You know, you don't need the latest and greatest hardware by any means. Linux on those old machines runs perfectly well. So, Rob, thanks for sending in that email, and thanks for everybody else for sending in all the emails. I really am grateful for the time that you all spent to send those. It really means a lot to me from here to hear from everybody. So please keep doing that. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you staying subscribed and, again, sending in those emails and those audio feedbacks and comments and questions. Please call the listener hotline, 206-338-6359, or send me an email to linuxreality@gmail.com. I still have some more listener tips. I've got a few questions that I've gotten from the audio from the listener hotline, and I'm going to get to those. Like I said, I'm trying to sort of spread them out, play one or two a week. So if you haven't heard yours yet, don't worry. I'm getting to them. Thank you for taking the time to send that in. Hope you all have a great week. Please do check out XFCE 4.4. And like I said, let me know what you think about those topics I talked about, you know, Vista, as well as computers in schools. I would love to hear from teachers on what they're doing and either the difficulties that they face, maybe with the school administrators. Maybe they can't bring Linux into the school. I'd like to hear about that. Or for those of you that have had success stories that have been able to bring Linux into the school, I would love to hear about that as well. So, and if you send it by email, that's fine. Or, you know, send me an audio comment on that. I think that'd be cool. I'd love to play it and let people hear about your experiences. So, again, everyone, have a great week. Have a great weekend. Hope you all take care. I will catch you all next time. This has been episode 48 of Linux Reality. See you later. Bye-bye.